Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the 4 Elements United. Tonight, we're going to have a really great show. Earth will not be on the show tonight. This is water. And wind, if you're... I see you in the queue, man. If you're there, I've unmuted you, so maybe take your phone off of mute or something like that. Because we've been having a little bit of technical difficulties here tonight.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, yes. Okay, great.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, sorry about that. We had about a minute or a minute and a half of silence there. So let's get rolling, man. Go ahead and kick it off for us, Wayne.
All right. So tonight we're going to talk about, we're going to pick up again back from my previous conversations. Still building upon the law of attraction and how we can actually practically incorporate those laws into our life on a daily basis. And just to recap a little bit, the last couple of weeks, the power of prayer, the power of celebrating, and the power of appreciating, and what our premise was that you actually can't live a great life without, honoring something that's greater than you, really acknowledging that there is some type of entity, or, some people call it Jesus, some people call it God, some people call it Allah, some people call it Buddha, some people call it Jehovah, Elohim, Yahshua, universe, source, nature, Mother Nature, whatever you call it, you acknowledge. But you absolutely acknowledge that there's something that's greater than you, and that you actually celebrate the fact that there's somebody, there's something that spending the sun, the earth, the moon, the stars, the planets, and something that's making all these entities revolve and live and grow and produce. And you actually celebrate the fact that you've actually come a long way from where you began. Celebrate life and really appreciate the things that you have and that you've overcome in life. And so we want to just piggyback on that and talk more about, how to practically live powerful in your life. And one of the things that I would like to start with, that there used to be a in the motivation circles, talk about your altitude is predicated upon your attitude. I would also enforce that that notion is that your attitude is predicated upon your amount of gratitude. Because if you're not grateful and if you don't see life for the powerful thing that it is and for the beautiful thing that it is, you actually can't, have a good attitude about life. And if you don't have a great attitude, the question is, how far do you think you're going to go with that? So I'll just leave you off with that right now, and water, you have anything to say?
Yeah, man, I really like, what you're talking about attitude, because it's very, very true. You see athletes with bad attitudes and teams will dump them. They'll be very talented people. But then you see them go to another team and they just don't produce at the level that they were producing previously in their career. And it's almost as if their attitude gets worse over time. You know, it gets worse and worse, which to me leads to their performance. And, you know, that's just one example out of many where attitude can be, you know, be very crucial. But it's kind of one where we all kind of have public access to see someone's life and how attitude plays a huge role in the whole scheme of them reaching a certain level of greatness. And so I, you know, I just want to say that when it comes to the law of attraction, a lot of times, and maybe we'll just, you know, for people who law of attraction doesn't really work for, we'll say maybe attaining things that you want to in your life. You know, if you don't really subscribe to the thought, to the philosophy that you, the things that you attract to your life come from some sort of wanting, desire, thoughts, things like that, then it's going to be pretty difficult for us to, you know, keep you engaged in the conversation. But for those who kind of have some semblance of, you know, you kind of lead your ship or guide yourself in a particular direction by your attitude or your beliefs or your thoughts, things like that, you know, then this is the conversation for you, because that's one of the main premises for a lot of the things that we discuss here on, you know, on the show. And whether it's us talking about Think and Grow Rich or The Alchemist or, you know, some of the other things like, you know, maybe Abraham Hicks or some of the other people who are just big into those types of things, you know, just suspend your disbelief for a little while and have a conversation with us, because we're not saying that this is the way that it is. We're just saying that this is one way. This is a possible solution to you actually attaining the life that you want to. You actually living out your dream. You actually living out your vision. You know, there's a saying, kind of like what you were saying, when that saying, the saying is, whatever the mind can believe, or whatever the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve. And that comes from, I've heard Napoleon Hill say that, you know, and he is the author of Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, that in a nutshell is really what we're talking about. You know, if you can come up with it, if you can visualize it and see it, and you actually believe it, you know, as Will Smith says, before anyone else can believe it, you got to believe it. And so that's really, in a nutshell, the direction that we're going in. And you have to have such a clear vision that you can actually live powerfully, as we want to talk about tonight. So, Wynn, I know I kind of said a mouthful, but, you know, I just wanted to kind of put all that out there, man. What I was hearing from you is, you know, it's good stuff. And, you know, I'm glad that we've been able to start to focus on the law of attraction, because, you know, I got to be honest, man, I get caught up in the day-to-day interactions of my life, and I forget at the daily level, in the trenches, you know, the day-to-day operations of my life, I forget all day.
Right.
I forget, you know, that I'm really great.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, forgetfulness. I mean, it was great that actually Amira brought that, you know, up a couple of weeks ago when she blessed us with her prayer. You know, we forget every day, but what we have to do to actually live powerfully is actually, you know, remind ourselves each and every day, you know, that and have that habit. Just be so ingrained in us that it just, you know, flows effortlessly, you know. And that's why I was saying is that, you know, every day you have to, you know, celebrate and appreciate, you know, life. You have to really open your eyes and see the greatness that exists. You have to, you know, be in awe of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. You know, how they rotate. You have to be in awe with, you know, space travel and even air travel. I mean, just, you know, 100 years ago, you know, there was no, that didn't exist. And it all started off, you know, allegedly, you know, with the Wright brothers, you know, with them having an idea and pursuing innovation around air travel. And look how far we've come in 100 years. Now we have United Airlines, Delta Airlines, Southwest, and we have these commercial flights. We have, you know, people like Boeing and Lockheed creating airplanes and supplying them all over the world. We have air traffic control. We have, you know, look at the cars that we drive, you know, Jaguars and Lexus and BMW. The engineering and ingenuity that's been generated over the last 100 years, the last 10, 15 years, you know, with the iPod and the iPhone and with the various phones that we have and, you know, all sorts of technologies that we enjoy. I mean, if you don't have an appreciation and a respect for that, and you're actually not living, you know, you're really existing, walking as if you're dead. And, you know, again, the reason that we created this show was to share information and create a conversation in our community to actually disrupt that. We want to have conversations that empower and disrupt negativity, disempowerment, and lack in our community. And so, again, that's the reason why we're having this conversation tonight, because we want to have all of us live a very powerful life. And, again, it all begins with your attitude. And the actual source of attitude is one's thoughts and perceptions. There's a saying that says perception is reality. And that's very true. So if I'm looking at the earth and I see just dry desert, my perception of the earth is the earth is actually flat. However, if scientists have innovated and actually created technology to actually see the earth from a different vantage point, they actually found that the earth is actually not flat. It's actually circular, or more precise, more elliptical. In its shape and form. And so the original perception that the earth was flat was that person's truth at that particular time. It wasn't necessarily the truth, but it was that person's truth for that particular time until knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to a greater extent was able to be developed and then imbued into society and stemming from scientific exploration. And the reason why I bring that up is because, again, we perceive things in our particular way, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the emphatic truth. It's just simply our perception, given our time and experience on this planet Earth, given our environment, given, you know, what we've been provided to by our parents or grandparents or our extended family members and friends from a particular community. But that's not necessarily the truth. So all of us have to be open and receptive to the fact that there's various perspectives, that there is your truth and then there's actually the truth. So you have to be very careful about the attitude that you have about life. And if you look at the grand scheme of things and really appreciate and celebrate, you'll actually have a greater perception of life, that life is really good, life is beautiful, that there is a great abundance around the planet Earth. And with you having that perception, again, it'll impact your attitude and it'll impact your outcomes in life. It'll impact the way you think and the way you feel and the way you attract things in your life. You can't be incongruent and inconsistent with having a negative thought about something and then saying that you want, you know, a BMW or a new house or whatever it is that you want. You can't be, you just can't win like that. And so I'll just stop for right there and allow my good friend Water to chime in on what I've been saying.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're not going to win if you think you're going to lose. You know, I don't know Michael Jordan, but never had a conversation with him, but I'm sure that he thought he was the greatest player that ever existed when he was actually accomplishing what he was accomplishing. Like, at that time, he probably thought that, and honestly, before he actually got there, I'm sure he thought it. And that's just what he believed about himself. There's no way he could have thought, oh, well, you know, I hope I'll make the team this year. You know, I'm sure he couldn't have thought like that and done what he had done. He couldn't have had those beliefs about himself, about, man, you know, sure, Pip is better than me, and, you know, all the guys at that time, Dominique and, you know, all the other guys who were in the league at that time, him, I'm sure he was thinking that he was the best player in the world at that time. Like, while he was in that, in those moments that he was actually producing at that level. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying, man, that, look, you believe that you're a loser, you're going to continue to be a loser. You believe that you are, that you can actually, I don't know, go back to school, if that's what you want to do, as an adult. 60 years old, 70 years old, you know, something that most people will be like, oh, come on, what do you, you know, why you want to do that? Or whatever it is. I mean, hey, if that's what you want to do, you have to believe you can do it. Because what ends up happening is pursuit of happiness, but it's so true, is that, you know, he said people can't do something themselves and they want to tell you that you can't do it. And so, you know, it's all like that. To me, that's been so true in my life, that I've seen people who, you know, had for one reason or another not accomplished X things in their lives, or maybe had bad situations in their lives. And you can just tell that they had certain beliefs about themselves. And so, kind of like what you're saying, is that, man, you know, when you believe something so strongly, that yes, I can start this business, or yes, I can get that promotion. You know, instead of, oh man, you know, I'm underqualified, you know, there's all kinds of other candidates that are more qualified than me. You're going to begin to carry yourself differently. And here's for the people who don't believe in the airy-fairiness of it all. So what ends up happening is you'll start carrying yourself in a certain way that you don't believe that you're even capable of. You know, like, you'll believe, like, if you believe you're incompetent, you'll start acting incompetent. Like, subconsciously start doing things that are incompetent. And it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's just one way that it comes to, you know, like, it kind of comes back from the, you know, the whole, like, for the non-believers in the, you know, law of attraction, you know, it's the same thing. It just is in a manifested way of, like, when you actually believe certain things about yourself, have consistent repetitive thoughts about yourself that are limiting or self-defeating or just downright negative or depressing, then those things are going to manifest in subconscious ways that we're not even aware of, like that most scientists can't even really understand how it works. It's just that the subconscious pretty much is the thing that actually runs us, not our conscious.
Well, how it works is that we actually operate on a vibratory frequency. And everything that we do, we are vibrating at all times. And you can either vibrate on a low level or you can vibrate on a high level. When you hear my voice, you don't hear a voice of disempowerment. You hear a voice of empowerment. So you mentally, you are perceiving the powerfulness of my vibration. And we perceive individuals each and every time we have an encounter. When a man meets a woman, either they vibe or they don't vibe. Either they connect or they don't connect. And it's for that unseen reason that relationships either don't work or they do work. Because we operate on a vibratory level. Question is, what is your vibratory level? You can't have incongruent thoughts, meaning that you can't fear something and then pursue something. So if I'm looking to go date Halle Berry, I got to come with it, right? I got to be prepared and be willing to go all out. You can't go to Halle Berry with a limp handshake and, you know, being whimpery. You can't go for a job expecting to get the job with the fear in the background that you're not going to get the job or that you're not qualified. If you feel that you're not qualified, then don't pursue that job. What you need to do is take incremental steps to get qualified. Because a lot of times what we do, unfortunately, is actually attempt to take quantum leaps. We try to go 0 to 60 miles per hour in 4 seconds, like a Porsche or some high-speed car. But unfortunately, some people don't have the capacity to actually do that. So we have to actually take incremental steps to get to that speed. So, for example, if I went to a community college, you know, for a year, and I had the expectation that I'm going to Harvard Business School, nothing is impossible. However, as a student, there are certain criteria that you have to meet to get to that level, and you have to be very strategic, very diligent, and incrementally move towards that, and then you can be there. But you just can't take a quantum leap from XYZ Community College and just walk in the doors of Harvard and think you're going to get in, right?
Well, that's one way to do it. I mean, another way to do it is just to feel the fear and to just go and do it anyway. I'm not so certain that you can't experience, and I'll give you a great example. Most people who have done something courageous, well, I won't say most, but there's a lot of people who've done something courageous that they were totally, totally scared when they actually were doing what they were doing. However, they saw it as a non-choice. You know, like, hey, I had to jump off the building, otherwise I was going to die because it was going to burn
exactly.
up or something. So I guess really what I'm saying is that I don't necessarily think that, but we had, like, this is where, you know, water and wind, you know, differ, because I'm not I'm not big on planning. I'm big on, hey, get in there. You know, like if you're, so that's Wynn's way of looking at it. And what Water would say is like, hey, look, you know, if you're terrified, go get in there. You know, just get busy and start moving towards your goal. Because I like one thing that Earl Nightingale says. He says, look, you know, forget success being of reaching your actual end goal. Success is anyone who's working towards their goal. Like if you actually are progressing in whatever way that you possibly can towards whatever it is that you want, then you're a success. Will allow fear to actually stop them from even taking the first steps or continuous steps. And so what I would say is that, hey, you know, if you're afraid of whatever it is that you're afraid of, hey, go do it. Like, you're not going to get less stage fright by going to think about it. However, you will get less stage fright if you just get out on stage and then you get out there. And, you know, the longer you're out there, the less frightening it is. Because, you know, I mean, anyone who's done any kind of speech of any size, you know, like when you first get there, you're kind of, everything's cold, the audience is cold, but as time, you know, as you continue to speak, everything loosens up, you loosen up, it just becomes more natural, and you're like, you're flowing, and you're out there in the flow. So I would say that, you know, like what Wynn is describing is one way to do it, and, you know, another way to do it is just to, hey, you know, for those out there who have noticed that they habitually will get into analysis paralysis, and then they totally just get shut down once they're in analysis paralysis. You know, hey, just get out there. Go make something happen. Just start something. Hey, you fall flat on your face, you did more than 80% of everybody out on the planet because you actually attempted. You actually made an attempt, the way that I actually look at it. You know, not to say that what you're saying is the wrong way to do it, Wynn. It's just, you know, we have two different approaches with that.
Yeah, I don't even think that we differ as much as you perceive. I mean, I agree with you that in the face of fear, some people have the capacity to actually mutate that fear into great courage, and in that moment, that fear actually releases, and they just move forward really powerfully, and the vibration actually transformed in that moment to a greater extent that fear was, and that fear just releases. And then they're
right.
Actually able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. That happens all the time. I mean, it's like when a mother's child is in jeopardy. You know, I've heard stories that kids have been pent under a car, and the mother has literally, you know, maybe 100, 150 pounds, you know, pick up a car in a moment of emergency. I mean, of course, you know, our level of being actually skyrockets in the midst of emergency, in the midst of urgency. And so what I'm saying is that, of course, you can use that you can incorporate that sense of emergency or urgency into your life, but for the most part, for most of us, what I'm saying is that we have to incrementally take steps to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And the reason why I say that is because if we attempt to take those quantum leaps on a consistent basis, then they could actually backfire and create a fear. It could create a larger fear. It could create resignment. It could create total disempowerment, complacency, and accepting of something that's not necessarily true. And so it's very dangerous to actually attempt to take quantum leaps on a consistent basis. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, and that's definitely one way to look at it. I'm not saying that that's not a way to look at it. I'm just saying that it's possible that it's not. And I'm just, again, a believer in, you know, getting in there, man. You better get off your ass and get in there if you want it. Otherwise, shut up. And that's just the way. That's just my whole personal philosophy is to get in there. And that means if you got to take a quantum leap every day, two times a day, three times a day, and you fall flat on your face, Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times trying to create the light bulb and finally succeeded. And that is actually somebody who wanted it. Like, he really wanted it bad. Like, when's the last time anybody listening here tried the same thing that they failed at more than 10 times, let alone 10,000? So I'm just saying, you know, from my perspective, like, hey, failure is not, as far as I'm concerned, failure is not a bad thing. It's what we make, because really that's just feedback about what we need to do for success. That's what it's really giving us. It's giving us that feedback that we need. So it's not necessarily failure, but for the people who actually, the people who actually look at failure as the ultimate OMG, oh my God, you know, for people who look at it, you know, as the ultimate, the finality, then I don't care how much preparation they do. They're still going to, like, you know, any obstacle that comes up, they're still going to consider it a failure. So my point is just that, like, by waiting, you're not going to make any kind of, you're not definitely going to make a quantum leap waiting. So what I'm saying is that if you have to fail making quantum leaps, it's a change in perspective about what failure really means. I think that's the biggest thing that's holding people back. Not that they're not prepared or waiting or going to get prepared. So, you know, like, but again, all I'm saying is that I'm more about, like, get in there, get to the action aspect of it, because I've seen in my own life how that's made a difference. And I've seen, for me, how I had to change my perspective on failure, how I had to change my perspective on, quote, rejection, unquote. I had to change my perspective on it. So that's kind of, you know, really the angle that I'm speaking about.
Yeah, now what I would say is not that you necessarily changed your perception, but it was the context in which you saw life and saw failure. You saw failure as simply a lesson, as a blessing, as an opportunity, as a feedback to incorporate something that's missing and to go back out there and put that in the space and to work at it again. And you know, when you live like that, that's a powerful context to live in, and that's exactly what, you know, this conversation is all about, is changing, you know, a person's perception, their thinking, their context in which they actually live and see things.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, that's really what it is. And, you know, hopefully our listeners are getting something out of this. You know, I do want to say to all the listeners right now, there's no one manning the actual switchboard. So if you press one, just hold tight. Someone's going to get to you, but right now there's just no one manning it, so we can't see you, and we can't mute you. That's not a usual thing. We've just been experiencing technical difficulties tonight. That's kind of really, you know, what I think the takeaway from the whole conversation is like, hey, what is your perspective on success? What's your perspective on failure? And then to, you know, get people to actually change that perspective.
Yeah, failure is a temporary thing. You know, it's not a permanent thing, but we make things permanent in our brains. And then we hardwire it into our everyday living. You know, failure is just simply, you know, I made a mistake here. I made a mistake there. I learned from this here. I learned from that there. This made me a better person. Oh, I grew from that. I actually developed from making that mistake. Oh, I'll never do that again because, you know, actually I learned that this is a better way, this is more effective, this is more efficient. I actually got better results from doing it this way than doing it that way. There's no stickiness to failure. It's just a failing. It's just a mistake. It's just a lesson. It's just a blessing. It's an opportunity to learn, to glean from, and to take what you've learned, incorporate, and to make life better. I mean, when Steve Jobs and Woz was in the garage tinkering, they didn't look at that tinkering as making mistakes. When Mark Zuckerberg was at Harvard and was dealing with these other guys, you know, creating social media, they didn't see it as, oh, I'm making a mistake. They're seeing that, oh, here's something that I can actually do and make this more efficient. Here's something I could do to incorporate in this and make it more effective. Here's something I can actually incorporate that these people would like. Oh, they didn't like that? Oh, okay, so we'll switch it up. We'll change this policy. We'll get rid of this policy and, you know, create something that these people like. The outcome? These guys are billionaires. These guys are living wealthy and happy. And it's just, again, it's not a failure. It's something to glean from.
Yeah, man, what I was going to say is that this is something I learned from Psycho-Cybernetics, is that, you know, human beings, here's something that's cool for thought for everyone. Human beings don't learn by getting things right on the first try. That's just not how human beings learn. And what they talk about is a newborn baby, or just a baby. You know, a baby to begin to wobble, they have to pull themselves up and wobble for X amount of time before they ever can take a first step. You know, they have to they have to kind of make adjustments. I mean, if you counted the amount of failures that happen with a young child when they're actually learning to walk, it would be who knows how many failures you would actually count during that process. You know, the same thing happens with a young child when they actually learn how to talk. So many different, and they do that for quite some time where they just make noises at first, and then they start kind of making incoherent, partial words. Then they can start saying words, and then they can start piecing sentences together, and then they can actually speak. So, you know, like and that's a whole entire process of lots and lots and lots and lots of failures. And so what's really interesting is that the whole entire learning process for human beings is actually getting that feedback from our actual failures. But I think what's very interesting is that when you deal with typical adults, and I'm not sure how it is in other cultures, but I know how it is in America because, you know, this is where we are. Deal with the typical adult, don't want to see any parts of failure. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to disclose when it happens to them. It's just that most people don't want any parts of failure. And, you know, I find that very, very interesting because that is pretty much that's the essence of the way our life goes. And that's really how you become, you know, honestly, I think, you know, the title of the show is Living Powerfully. And I think that that's really the essence of how you live powerfully is you actually begin to adjust your thought process on failure. Because if you go out and start making a lot of failures, you're going to make a lot of success because you're going to get a lot of feedback. You know, and you're going to make major steps, massive steps, because most people are not willing to do that.
One of the things that that has us be that way is because we personalize failure. We act as if it's really our fault. And we actually have it that, again, that it's a permanent state. And the fact of the matter is that it's not personal. It's simply an opportunity for you to grow from. If I choose to, you know, date Holly Berry and it doesn't work out, it's simply an opportunity for me to grow from. It doesn't mean that there's a permanent, that there's something wrong with me. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with her. It's something that perhaps both of us can learn from and grow from and actually have a functional and healthy relationship with someone else. There's no permanence to it, and it's not personal. Just because there wasn't a match there means that, you know, you're deficient or you're inadequate. But we make these mental links, and we actually don't even notice it, actually. But they become hardwired into our fiber, into our being. And we behave in direct correlation with that. And so we actually have to disrupt that. Just because something doesn't work out between two people doesn't make you inadequate. Doesn't mean that you're deficient. Doesn't mean that you're not worthy of love. Doesn't mean that nobody cares about you. It's not the end of the world. There's 7 billion people on the planet Earth. Life is abundant. If it doesn't work with somebody, then there's 6,999,000,000 blah, 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 other people across the planet Earth. Don't let one person impact your life to the extent that you think it's all over. Don't let one experience impact your life to the extent that you think that your life is all over. There is no permanence, and it's certainly not personal. Life is extraordinary. It's beautiful. Just take a look around. And if you could live in that type of context, then you can live a powerful and enjoyable life. We're very extreme when it comes to the impact of making mistakes. We blow things out of proportion and exaggerate things. Our imagination, you know, runs wild, and you know it captures you and captivates you. And whenever you're captivated by something, that means that you're insulated. You're a prisoner to your own thoughts, to your own perceptions, to the context in which you live. And you have to get free from that. And only you can allow you to be free. And the way you do that is change your context. Is really acknowledge that, you know, this one experience didn't make my life over. It didn't make me, it didn't break me. This manager didn't make me or break me. This company didn't make me or break me. This guy, this girl didn't make me or break me.
Didn't do from the outset of the show, where I think it'd be really interesting to actually say it now. So what do you consider living powerfully?
Wow. what I consider living powerfully is really, again, seeing life as beautiful and abundant. And seeing is acknowledging that human beings are infallible yet extraordinary. And that when I look at the feats of human beings from past and contemporary, I can actually see myself creating extraordinary things, doing extraordinary things, living a life of abundance of love, abundance of happiness, abundance of joy, eating good foods and being healthy and having great friends and relationships all over the world, exploring the world and, you know, going to the pyramids and going to the Mediterranean and enjoying the waters and going to Spain and Mexico and Puerto Rico and South America and Australia, and traveling the entire planet. Powerfully is a context. It's a context in how you see yourself, how you see human beings, how you see the world. And if you have a negative context, I promise you, you will not have a happy life. How could you? It's totally inconsistent to how life really is. It's totally incongruent. And that's why you know, people that are Debbie Downers, you know, have that consistent feeling. That's why people commit suicide, because they can't take it. And it's all mental. None of it's true. It's all made up in the mind. You have the power to make up your own story and create your own life the way you want to create it. Again, it could be, you don't have to take quantum leaps. Everything is incremental. Even God, you know, the Bible said God took some days to create it all. And then rested on the next. So are you greater than God?
Yeah, man, that's a good explanation. I like that. You know, living powerfully, man. Living powerfully. Yeah, I just think that it's just kind of like what you're saying. It's all about that context, because I know me personally, whenever I am experiencing a state of, I guess, resignation, if you will, then I can just tell how utterly powerless I feel. But as soon as I actually start to kind of get in tune and really feel like, hey, look, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. Like, man, this is actually working. I know I can't see it, but I can tell, I can feel it. I can feel it working. When I get into that mode, man, things just start happening. I don't know what it is, but they just start happening for me. And, you know, I think that's part of the whole, you know, equation is to emotionally get to that point of where you can feel it. I think that has a huge component of it all. Getting to where you can emotionally feel it.
Absolutely. It requires you to feel it to actually, you know, do it. But we have so much muck and mire on top of us that we have to eradicate. And again, this is the reason why we created the show, is to really, you know, wash, you know, brainwash, you know, baptize. All those metaphors for you know, the cleansing and the renewing of one's mind. And once you renew your mind, you renew your life. Change your mind, change your life. Change the context in which you live. Be open and receptive that there's a greater way to perceive something.
Yeah, man, I like it. I like it. Yeah, you got to stay open. I think that's another key to it, is just having that openness about it all. You know, like if you're sitting here right now being like, man, this kind of sounds a little, you know, airy-fairy and ethereal, hey, take what you can from the conversation. We're not telling you, or anybody for that matter, we're not telling anyone that we have the answers. We're just saying, hey, here's some observations that we made, and, you know, here's some things that we've learned that we'd like to share. So I think that's the way that, you know, that's just a good approach to life in general, is just to not dismiss things you believe in or, you know, that you had experience with. Just be open and see what you can get. Use what you can use. Come back and share something with us. Teach us something.
Right. All life is about being open and receptive. And I promise you, there's nothing airy or fairy about really taking a deep look around. You know, being still and just relaxing and getting a little peace. You know, going to a park. You know, go to a botanical garden and see the various, you know, plants and trees and flowers. Just look at the beauty that's all around you. There's nothing airy or fairy about that. At nighttime, if you are in a park and it's dark at night, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night, you could just literally sit in the middle of a field and some grass and just look straight up and look at the beautiful stars that light the night. Look at the beautiful moon and, you know, see, you know, get a telescope and look at the planets. There's nothing airy or fairy about that. That's real life. It's beautiful to actually be able to go into your apartment and turn on a faucet with very little effort and have water flow endlessly. It's beautiful to be able to, you know, to know that the generations before you sat in the back of a wood house and sat on wood in a deep well called the outhouse. But now we could just go into the bathroom and just hit a switch effortlessly and flush our toilets and our waste and not have to smell or endure any, you know, stench that's accumulated from a whole community. If you think about it, you think about the electrical systems that run through the grounds and, you know, above the streets. You know, the plumbing that runs beneath the grounds, the wireless towers and the satellites that are in space. Again, about the airplanes and the air, you know, air traffic control, all these networks. If you think about how the Army Corps of Engineers created the roadways going east to west, north to south, that allow us the privilege to travel all around this country on the interstates. They plowed through mountains and, you know, drew down trees and forests to create these interstates so that we could travel.
And Wayne,
yep.
Wayne, all of that is awesome, man, and it's awe-striking and just, you know, really, you know, a lot to take in. But we got 2 minutes left on the air. So we need to go ahead and wind it on down, man. What do you want to leave all of the listeners with tonight?
That's what I just finished leaving off with just now. just take a look around and really appreciate and understand that the beauty of life and the power of human capacity. And if they could do it, so can you. There's no reason for you to feel powerless, disenchanted, disenfranchised. Live the life that you want to. Change your mind, change your life.
Yeah, man, I like that. And I just want to leave everybody with, you know, just, hey, just be open to the concepts. I know there's a lot of people, I encounter them. Some of the people that I encounter listen to our shows. And, you know, some people don't believe in the law of attraction and things like that. And, hey, just take an open your mind and just take a really open-minded look at everything that we're saying, because we're not talking, like Wendy said, we're not talking Eric Berry. We're just talking about how to live powerfully, how to live the life you want to, how to live the life you dream about, and how to live that vision out that you had. So, Wynn, you want to go ahead and take us out, man, with the last 30 seconds?
Appreciate and celebrate your life. And have a great attitude. And I promise that you'll go to great altitudes in life. You'll have what you want and desire and so much more. It's all available to you.
Catch us next week, same time, same place. This is Water, Four Elements, and we're out.